Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome. I really appreciate you being here today. Today, also, we have Greg Keeley. And you likely know Greg by now, but if you haven't listened, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Greg. Greg is a private wealth advisor and managing partner with Acutaz Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice. Did I pronounce it right?
This is the 150th time I've been on your show, and I've been Greg Keeley every time. My mother pronounces it Keel.
What did I pronounce it?
Well, you do that every time, but I love you.
Oh, it's Keel. I get it. Why didn't you ever tell me this?
It's Acuitas Financial Group. So Acuitas is Latin for perception or insight, and we thought we were being really clever. What we did was create a name no one can say, which has been real fun.
Yeah. Well, I can't say it, so there you go. But I can't say your last name.
That's all right with us.
Let's see. How long have we been doing that? Now I'm embarrassed.
Oh, don't be.
Well, a little bit more about Greg is he's a private wealth advisor and a managing partner. I already said that. Ameriprise Financial Services. You got me way off, Greg.
This is going to be the blooper reel.
It is. Greg has a bachelor's degree in both economics and political science and has earned a certified financial planner, chartered retirement planning counselor, certified divorce financial analyst, and certification for long-term care designations. Greg has served proudly as a captain in the United States Army. And served a combat tour in Iraq. Thanks a lot for your service. We do appreciate it.
Thanks.
We're glad you're here, though.
Me too.
Greg has over 22 years' experience as a financial advisor, has earned numerous awards and honors, and leads a team of 22 advisors and staff. Greg's firm specializes in helping people recover from the trauma of divorce through compassionate, sustainable financial planning and litigation support. Additionally, his firm provides advisory services focused on executive compensation, estate, and retirement planning. And I personally can tell you, Greg is by far the best I have ever met. Greg, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Wow, that's a fantastic endorsement. I feel the same way about you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Greg, what is the best way for our listeners to contact you if they have any financial needs?
You can reach us at gregkeele.com. That's GREGGKEELE. Or call us at 317-288-5400. That's 317-288-5400. Thanks.
And I'm pretty sure I made you comfortable since I messed up the whole start of this. But I did want to go also, Greg, I wanted to talk about just a few weeks ago, I had a call from a prospect that was getting ready to file for divorce. She told me that her and her husband were still living in the same home and that they were hoping to keep the divorce amicable. They have kids. And one of her worries was, you know, how they would work out the co-parenting. And I talked to you about that. And so we decided we'd have Judy Hester on. Judy is who is a principal of, I'm afraid to even pronounce the name.
Brazel Hester,
PC. Judy's legal practice concentrates on high conflict child custody cases and high asset divorces. She works diligently with her clients who need dedicated guidance in obtaining custody of their children together with the most advantageous parenting time arrangements, which I know that is a huge deal. I've never been divorced, but I've had not a lot of people. I know that's a big deal. And child support orders. Judy, is there anything that I missed you'd like to add to kind of your bio?
I think that sums it up. Custody cases, high conflict divorce. We take our job very seriously. And I know when a client comes to me, I have them in my hands, and this is their life. And it's my job to get them, guide them through the best I can, and that's the way we handle every client.
And I would guess, and that Greg's kind of filled me in on it too, that it's obviously a high emotional time for the people that you're working with.
Absolutely. I mean, you're dealing with, if they have children, you're dealing with their most precious commodity, you know, and trying to establish financially for the rest of their life, and also being sure that you're trying to model for your children to how to be the best parent and how to be the best spouse. So it's very, very important time for not only the client, but for their children who you're working for.
I would think it would be. Now, what is the best way for our listeners to contact you if they have any legal needs?
Either their office number, 317-624-9600, or my email is jhester, J-H-E-S-T-E-R, at brazilhester.com. And Brazil is like the country Brazil, but two L's, B-R-A-Z-I-L-L-H-E-S-T-E-R.com.
Great. Appreciate that. I had a client, I work with people all day long. And so I am certified financial or mortgage divorce person. So I wanted to, I get a lot of the questions because of that. I'll get people call me and they're trying to figure out what they can do. And this one, I think it was Sarah. No, it was Charlie. And Charlie, he felt that his ex-wife was treated better than he was when it came to the custody. And he wanted to know, do the courts, favor a mother over a father when it comes to custody? He's not really the first person I've had ask me that, but what are your thoughts on that?
That's a very common question. And I think as a rule, that does not happen in Indiana. I think it used to be the case and it's not anymore. I think most of the judges truly look at the situation. Sad to say, women are not always the best parent just because the baby comes out of their body. It's just not the case. So it depends on each situation. I think it's important for your attorney to know the various judges, because there are some judges that favor fathers, some judges that favor mothers. But as a rule, I would say it doesn't matter. It just, and you need an attorney to be able to present the best case on what's the best custody and parenting time situation for your case.
And Judy's being a little bit modest. She's got about 1,000 years experience. She has a mental health background. She's a super lawyer. The way that I've seen her work with folks has truly been life-changing. It's an impressive thing. And the heart she brings into a very difficult situation can make all the difference. And Judy, maybe you could talk just a second about how you work with guys like Charlie or mothers like Charlie's ex-wife in helping them display their character and their side of the story when they go in front of a judge or in a hearing, because a lot of times people take a lot of emotion into that courtroom and it doesn't always serve them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to know your client. There's plenty of attorneys that deal with just a lot of finances. I deal with finances, but I also deal with a lot of custody. So a lot of times it's taking the time to talk and know where they came from. And the reason for the divorce, sometimes lawyers don't want to know that, but why? What happened? And just being able to talk and get into their head, get into their heart, so you can truly bring that out for the judge. And practice, and crying and bawling on the stand doesn't do it. You have to be able to present that and be able to convey eye to eye with the judge on your heart and what's going on. And while you're going to, and you don't want to have to speak negatively about your co-parent. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to do that in the right way in order to convey to the judge what's really going on and what's truly affecting your child and how you handle the situation. So,
I would think it'd be a hard to do. They have to go before the judge and they're very emotional.
Yes.
And it's probably, I don't know, is it really tough because you don't want to show too much emotion, I'm guessing. But then again, you don't want to show no emotion.
Right. And I think that's a lot. I mean, it's just a small tip, but being able to, when you're answering questions from the attorneys, to be able to turn and look at the judge and give your answer to the judge. So the judge sees through your eyes, you know, what you're doing. But you also need to convey that you're not just this blob of crying and this is not how you parent your child, but you can get through the tough times and you can do that, but you can feel it, but be able to show you're reasonable, you're rational, and you can take this child through the rest of their life and still be able to communicate with the co-parent, even when that co-parent can be difficult and you have a hard situation. So those are things that we work through behaviorally as well as emotionally in presenting your case.
Now, when somebody's filing divorce, does it make a difference in who files?
I would say it does. It does not make a difference. The judge does not look at, you know, oh, you're the one that's breaking up the family. That does not happen. The only difference is the person that files pays the filing fee. So that's like about $165. That's really nothing to consider.
Right.
I think the only other thing that maybe helps in some situations is because you're the petitioner, and if you're going to court, we don't always go to court, but if you do, you get to present your case first. Now, sometimes you want to be the second to go. So you kind of think that through. So the answer is no, it doesn't matter, but we consider those little nuances.
Okay. So you can actually plan who files?
Only if you're cooperating.
Okay.
And when you're divorcing in the beginning, that usually doesn't happen.
Well, and also, I know Greg and I have talked about it, and I don't think Indiana has alimony, but does Indiana have alimony?
They do not have something that we call alimony. There are other states that do, but we don't have alimony. We have something that's called rehabilitative maintenance, and that's available in three situations, and it only goes for 3 years. So that's if, let's say you were working and then you were going to be a homemaker, and so you're out of the workforce, and you need to go back to get some schooling. You're being rehabilitated to be able so you can support yourself. Or if you've had a disabled child, or if you've had some disability that's taken you out of the workforce. And then the only other thing we call spousal maintenance, and if you have a physical or mental disability that makes it that you cannot consistently support yourself for the rest of your life. So that's very unusual. And that support then goes for the rest of your life. I just got one of those. That was a big one. Okay. But that's unusual.
Yeah. And for financing, that makes a difference, because for financing a mortgage, we need 3 years continuance. So if somebody does the first one you talked about, we would never be able to count that income to qualify them for a mortgage.
Right.
Because of the 3-year continuance.
And that's when I call Greg, because Greg helps me as the financial divorce expert, and he helps me be able to plan for these people. So, you know, they're trying to have the next chapter and the rest chapter for the rest of your life, and he's excellent, as you were saying in the beginning. He really is excellent in helping me with my clients.
Yeah. Well, it is a team effort, and when we get great legal advice and great financial advice and great advice on debt and the other issues that come up, whether they be mental health related or whatever, we just do a much better job doing it together and making sure we're leaning on each other's expertise. And so I really invite people to consider that if they have to go through the trauma of this. Every child gets one childhood, and boy, we sure don't want to mess it up just because the relationship's ending.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
We're now ready for the question of the week. I do one question that I get emailed, or I'll get emails from people asking questions, and then I like to bring them up here. And I try to choose a question based on who's going to be on the show. And this question, and this is why I had Sarah in my mind, this question is from Sarah D.
Okay.
And Sarah complains. She was complaining that the child support payment is pathetically low. So they've already obviously gone through the divorce and wants to know if she can make her ex pay for children's school supplies and things like that. Is that possible after the divorce is final?
You need to plan for these things as you're ending the divorce, and hopefully that you're reaching an agreement. It's different if you're working at an agreement as opposed to going to court, because the judge can only do certain things. And you will be able to modify child support, and this is what we're talking about, is a child-related matter. So that happens about every year. There's different ways to do that. But in Indiana, when you figure the child support, there's one person that pays the controlled expenses. And so the person that receives the child support is really all the clothes for the child, all the, the coats and the boots, the school supplies, the book registration fees, and all the things that a child needs other than extracurricular activities. Seems a little unfair because you get it's relatively small in Indiana, and then you have to handle all of the finances with that. But if you're going to reach an agreement, if you're going to work with an attorney, and it's best when you have two good attorneys going against each other, because they're going to work for the families, and you could agree, like, okay, I'm paying you child support, but in August, I'm going to help you. We're going to work together, and we're going to share the school supplies. We're going to the book fees and those things. So you can agree. You can agree upon anything. But if we're in court, the court is really constrained. So those school supplies would be taken out of you're given the child support for those costs.
So is it better to do an agreement outside of the court?
Generally speaking, it is better to be able to, because then you can agree upon what you both want, what both parents want, and something that's important to one parent, we might be able to get that parent in exchange for something else. So both parents are getting something that's important to them, and so we go to mediation in order to have a good mediator over here on the side that helps you reach that. So there are times when people cannot come to an agreement, or one side will not just can't give, and for that reason, and that's why we go to the courts, that they have to help us, and they don't help us make a decision, they make the decision. You walk into the court, you have no more control, and the judge will decide your life.
So that's really what's happened, is you give up control as soon as you decide you're going to go to the court.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
It's generally not, unless you have a really bad other person on the other side that's just not going to cooperate with you. And most people think that going into divorce, that, my spouse is not going to help, is not going to agree. Usually in the end, it does end up, working out, but not every chance, and you do have to go to court sometimes.
Yeah, I guess that's always the chance you take whenever you go through any type of lawsuit. And divorce is a lawsuit, correct?
That is right.
So that's what you take.
Yes.
Hey, Greg, I thought maybe you could give our listeners again a little bit of your contact information, so if they have any financial planning needs or would like to talk with you, they have some way to get a hold of you.
Great, thank you. Yeah, the easiest way is just to Google Greg Keel, GREGGKEELE, also gregkeel.com, or call us at 317-288-5400.
And it's pronounced Keel.
It is today.
It will be for now on, I hope. Yeah, one of the things, I was looking at your website, and again, since I haven't been through divorce, but I've known lots of people who have, it always amazes me, like my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law got divorced, and they've been able to really do a phenomenal job. Their son is phenomenal. They've done a really good job. They were able to work through it all. They're both remarried to other people. But how do you set up a co-parenting agreement like that? Because this one really worked. How do you make sure it works?
Well, I think you have you need to have two people that are willing to work together, because you can actually still have Thanksgiving together, and even with your new significant others. You need, I would say, two good attorneys on the other side. And you work hard at it. You work hard, you reach the right agreement. There is something called a collaborative divorce. You need to be collaboratively trained. I am collaboratively trained. And you make a promise that you will never go to court. And you sign a contract that you will never go to court. And you work very hard on the language, and then of this agreement, you live by it. And you work very hard, sometimes on swallowing your, biting your tongue, and not having to tell each other when you're doing something wrong, but working through that and knowing that the child is the center of your agreement and of your life, and you're going to work so that you raise your best child and you love your child more than you dislike your spouse.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. Usually divorces are happening because it's gotten so difficult to live together that they just can't do it anymore. Now, people get divorced for all kinds of reasons, but in many cases, there was a violation of trust. There was a breach of a promise, and one party or the other feels incredibly hurt and cheated. And then as you go through the process of splitting up money, there can be some animosity there. But what Judy just said, and I have personal experience with this, if we can, as adults and as loving people, say, okay, this didn't work out, and that's bad, and I'm hurt, but this child we have together didn't have anything to do with this. This child wasn't even around when we got together, and this child has one childhood, and if we tear each other apart in front of this one or two or three humans that depend on us, how do we think that's going to affect their psyche? How do we think that's going to affect their ability to be in loving relationships in the future? So what Judy just said is exactly right. Focus on the love for the child and how that is so much more powerful than your anger, your hurt, or your temporary hate for your ex-spouse. And if we do that, we can have experiences like what your friend did. And over time, realize that whatever feelings we had that we didn't express, whatever tamping down of anger that we did, was 1,000,000,000% worth it when you have a healthy relationship in the future and a healthy relationship with your children.
Yeah, I've never done it, but it's when you talk about it, both of you, it's obvious that you have a lot of compassion for the people that are going through the situation, and that I think that must help them immensely go through such a tough time. Do you find that's the case?
I would. I think my clients know that I do care about them, and I want the best for them. I also hate to lose. So, you know, I come in prepared. So it's a little bit of both, you know. But I care. I care about my clients, and I care about their children. I think Judge Lloyd from Johnson County said one time, and it stuck with me very much, that this child knows they're made of both of you. And if one parent speaks negatively about the other, you're saying for the child, oh, that must be bad because I'm part of you. Oh. And so it really goes into their head. It's like, let's just zip it about talking about the other parent, you know, because it's not good for the child and it's not good for your case. Yeah, so don't do it because I don't like to lose.
All true. I'm a combat veteran and a divorce veteran. I have had to deal with PTSD and MTSD. And I can tell you there are times in this world where you have to fight fire with fire, and you got to stand on a wall with a rifle. but most of us need to fight fire with water and tamp down whatever hate and anger we have and replace it with love and turn it in that direction. And when you do, you end up with a much more beautiful place than the bodies littered around when you try and fight all fires with more fire.
Yeah, that goes with trying to hire a bulldog attorney who then makes it tougher at times. Sometimes
there's a time and a place for everything in the world, but you can't use one solution for anything. But I would agree, in my experience, people who want to fight end up fighting. And sure, you can win a fight, but you're going to be bloody and beat up and maybe can't walk the rest of your life or whatever.
That's not good. I want to switch it a little bit, because this question, I have seen people go through a divorce and they've had a business, and many times it ruins the business. Mm-hmm. How do you avoid that if you're getting ready to go through a divorce, that it doesn't destroy your business by getting divorced and having it split up?
Well, I think a lot of times people think it's like, oh, you're going after my business. Really, it's valuing the business. Most of the time, the spouse isn't trying to take the business. And I would say we don't want to destroy the business, because that's going to be your child support. That's going to be your income. That's what we want. So we want to support that business. But it's still, that is an asset that one party is taking. So all we do, we're valuing it and being able to split up that money. But we want to support that.
That's right. We have business valuation professionals that go through and determine the value of the business. And then if the divorce is 50%, 50%, then we figure out how to balance out the rest of the marital estate to account for the fact that one person's going to get 100% of the value of that business. But as Judy said, we really want to make sure that the family can support itself. And if we kill the golden goose and destroy the business that's creating the income the family needs, boy, that wouldn't be a very good outcome.
Yeah, that'd be tough. We are running out of time. So Judy, could you just give people an idea of how to get a hold of you if they have any needs, either divorce or any of the other legal things that you do?
Very good. You can call me on the phone, 317-624-9600. Contact me by email, jhester@brazelhester.com. You can go to our website, brazelhester.com, 3 W's in front of that. And we are happy to help. We like what we do. We like helping people. Like to fit the puzzle together so we have happy futures for everyone that we can.
Well, it's obvious you do.
And she has a great combination of compassion and competence. And, you know, Judy's not going to be a bulldog unless she has to. She's got plenty of bulldog in her. But what we're trying to do is get things settled well so that families can heal. And Judy's one of the best.
That's awesome. And she doesn't like to lose.
Bulldogs can have a smile.
I thank you both for joining me today. I certainly appreciate it. And thank you for joining us on Indy's Real Estate Gurus. If you have any questions through the week, please call me at 317-672-1938. That's 317-672-1938. Or online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Have a great weekend.